Good morning. It is Sunday, May the 19th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, we talked about it last week. You were on the road this week and many places. And let's start in chronological order. On Tuesday, you went down to Franklin along with some town staff and met with the Macon County Board. What were you doing there and what were you telling them?
Good morning, Chris. Yes, I was on the road, and it's always good to be back here in beautiful Highlands. But on Tuesday evening, Josh Ward, our town manager, Rebecca Schuler, our finance director, and Matt Schuler, who is the director of our GIS and broadband program, we all went down and had an opportunity to make a presentation to the Macon County Board of Commissioners. And basically what that presentation was about, I issued the invitation to the Board of Commissioners to partner with us in the development of broadband, not just broadband for Highlands, although our Highlands residents are county citizens who pay county taxes also, but I wanted them to partner with us with the plan and the goal of spreading our broadband network beyond the city limits of Highlands all the way out into the areas of the Highlands Plateau that also need this broadband service. So that was the presentation, in effect, that we have designed a system that can be developed well beyond the limits of the town of Highlands, and that, like our recreation department, where we partner with the county, they give us a substantial amount of money to operate the recreation department, which means they don't have to do recreation program here on the plateau. And all of the residents, whether you live in the town or city, can come and enjoy our recreation department. Same thing with the broadband. I invited them to become a partner. We're putting $4.5 million in building this aerial portion of the network right now. And I suggested that maybe the county could supplement this initiative by providing $250,000 each year for the next 4 years, and that would help us extend this network beyond just the city limit. So they're in their budget planning process, as we are now too, and hopefully we can form some type of agreement and partnership concerning broadband.
I understand your travels continued on Wednesday, and broadband was still a big part of that as well when you went up to Hickory for the League of Municipalities meeting.
That's right. It was the annual meeting of the League of Municipalities, and thankfully it was in Hickory this year instead of Raleigh or somewhere else in the state. And that was the overarching theme for so many workshops and sessions of the conference. For example, the first keynote speaker, who was an expert in cities and what is ahead in the future, was talking about how broadband will kind of unify so many of the services and everything that we do in municipalities. And that concept just continued throughout all the sessions that I attended. We are really very much on the cutting edge. And if you will, for a small city, we're leading the way on developing this fiber optic network. And I know some of our citizens think we're investing a lot of money, and I too think we're investing a lot of money. But really, this conference and all the feedback that I heard confirms to me that it's a well-made investment, and it will put us in a position to really engage in the development of future technologies that are on the way. That was what the keynote speaker was saying, that managing a smart grid, providing instant services for residents, and even things like automated vehicles, they will be happening probably within this decade. And the point was made that probably cities will change more in the next 10 years as they have in the last 30 or 40 years. So I was very gratified to know that we've been working on developing this fiber optic network for over 4 years, and we're now in a strategic position to move forward, while some of our other cities are actually grappling with how they even start this process. So that's, I think, good news for the community of Highlands. On the other hand, there were some other larger cities that are far ahead of us. For example, the mayor of Canover was talking about they've already have a smart grid, and what they're able to do is to provide real-time monitoring of water usage, electricity with their customers, and a customer can go to an app right now and from day to day or hour to hour determine how much electricity they've used for the month and check their bill. They can, you know, control a lot of things in their grid from a central office location. So there are a lot of innovations that are happening with this technology. We will be making some change in the coming years.
And the issue of broadband continued into your board meeting this past Thursday, where the board passed a rather important measure for the broadband project.
Well, that is true. And what was so ironic, I was in the last workshop session at the league's meeting on Thursday morning. And again, the whole idea was, how do you implement, how do you build such a network? And on my way out, I told the folks, we are going to start the process tonight. I'm going to have a board meeting and we will sign the contract for the actual construction of our fiber network. So that is exactly what happened on Thursday night. The board approved the contract with JB&L Communications, and within the coming weeks, they will actually start constructing the fiber optic network, and that will be the aerial portion. Following that will be the underground portion, which Wide Open Networks will begin. You will be seeing crews on our utility poles very soon, and they will be running the fiber to all the different poles and making the taps where every home and every business in Highlands can be connected directly to this fiber optic network. One of the things that Matt Schuler stressed to the Macon County Commissioners was that we have enough fiber for each business and home in Highlands, but instead of designing it just to meet those immediate needs, we have enough fiber to double capacity or even more. So that is kind of the idea that while we will serve every citizen in the town of Highlands, we can also go beyond that type of service too.
Mr. Mayor, we've already seen one area of town had the speed limit change recently, and I understand at your board meeting this past Thursday, some other areas were brought up for consideration as well.
That's right, Chris. You're referring to the reduction of speed around Little Bear Pen, that curve that was recently implemented, and Commissioner Steeler brought up a concern about Hickory Hill Road at the meeting and requested the board consider lowering the speed limit from 25 to 15. The police chief and our public works director also has investigated this situation, and Hickory Hill is designed in such a way that it would be dangerous for somebody to actually drive it at 25 miles an hour. There's so many curves and dips and everything. You have to be cautious and drive at a slow rate. And we think that the speed limit there needs to be reflective of those conditions. So the decision was to study that entire area. You have Chowan Road and some other roads, and we will have the Public Works Committee working with Lamar Nix of Public Works and Bill Harrell, our police chief, very soon to do an entire review of all the speed limits in that area and come back to the board hopefully at our June meeting and make recommendations not only for reducing the speed limit on Hickory Hill, but any other appropriate changes in the area. And then in a larger view, we need to be looking at the speed limits throughout the town and in the particular neighborhoods under question. So we will do that whole process of reviewing sections of the town and neighborhoods even after we complete this review here in June.
And sticking on the subject of public safety, I understand the future of the Highlands Fire Department got a little bit clearer at your board meeting. Some decisions were made, and there are some decisions still to be made.
That's right. In our proposed budget for the coming year, the fire tax is to be raised from 1 cent per $100 of property evaluation on our ad valorem tax to 3 cents. That's a 2 cent increase. And it would put the budget for the department a little over $1 million. Now, some people say, well, why do you need to do that? And the answer is we need to build a new firehouse or a fire building, and we need to move toward a round-the-clock staffing of the fire department. And that's why we are recommending an increase in the fire tax. That's a work in progress. We have an architect working with the design. We're looking at property that we could acquire to do this. In the coming month or so, I think this whole issue will be much more clear. But for right now, we need to be proactive and realize we're moving ahead with a new fire department. And we will be having to go before the Macon County Commissioners very soon and requesting for that change, because our fire district just isn't in the town of Highlands, but it also goes out into the unincorporated areas.
I understand the public will have an opportunity to weigh in about the future of the fire department with an upcoming meeting, kind of a drop-in session.
That is right, a drop-in informational session and a session where we can receive public feedback. And that will be this coming Tuesday, the 21st, from 6 to 7 o'clock at the Highlands Recreation Department. And that is where the pool is located. And the fire chief will be there, the town manager, and I will also be at the meeting. And if anyone wants to come in and make a comment or have questions answered, we will be there and available to provide any kind of information that the public seeks.
I understand at your board meeting there were also some discussions about some changes to development ordinances in the town.
That is correct. We will be having a public hearing at our June meeting regarding some changes to the UDO, specifically our fence ordinance, and also the habitable stories that we have on the books right now. There'll be some changes to that. In other words, how many stories in a building can you have where people can actually live there? So those will be the changes that we will be considering, and we will be inviting public input at our next board meeting.
And then, of course, the big item of this time of year is the budget, and I understand there are also some public hearings coming up on the proposed budget.
That's right, Chris, and we could probably make a half-hour extension of the program discussing the items in the new proposed budget, and I know we don't have the time for that. Let me just say two things. We will be having a public hearing concerning the budget at our June meeting also. And then with my mayor's coffee, which is scheduled for the Friday, May the 31st, I've invited Rebecca Schuler, our finance director, to join me, and we will be going over the highlights of the proposed budget. So I encourage people to come to the board meeting for the public hearing, or come to the coffee on Friday the 31st at the Hudson Library at 11 o'clock, and we will give you an overview of what's in that budget and the highlights of our budget for the coming year.
Well, Mr. Mayor, as you are wont to do, you have brought some guests this morning, and they are from one of the, well, biggest events of the summer here in Highlands.
That is correct. Our guests are involved in the Highlands Motoring Festival. I will say this is their 12th year. And I remember the first motoring festival. It was really kind of a car show where some of the local folks and area folks parked their cars, and we had a wonderful day of looking at those beautiful vehicles. But this has now developed into a major national event among, you know, car show enthusiasts and so forth. We are bringing in some outstanding examples of antique cars and one-of-a-kind type of vehicles. So I'm delighted to have with us today Jerry Hermerson and Steve Helm. And Steve, I believe, is going to share with us all the new ideas and changes in this important Highlands event.
Thanks, Pat. We appreciate the opportunity to tell the community about the Highlands Motoring Festival. It's coming up in 3 weeks, actually. It's in June 8th. It will be our big Saturday car show. We've evolved into a four-day festival now. We have five events. We start out on June 6th with our big gala at Monte Carlo night. We have Friday as our driving tour. Friday evening is our parade. Saturday the 8th is our big car show in the park. And Sunday the 9th is our Cars and Coffee event that's called High Octane on Main. It'll be at Wright Square.
And Steve, I understand that you've got a few new things this year, including a new award.
Yes, I brought it along to show you. This is our Classy Award. It was presented by Classic Motorsports Magazine last year. They had a poll of their readership about the best car show or best concourse in the land. and Highlands Motoring Festival won that award. We beat out Pebble Beach, Hilton Head, Amelia Island. It was Little Old Highlands has this quite well-known motoring festival.
Well, Steve, that accolade has certainly increased the profile of the Highlands Motoring Festival, but it's about to get even more widely known through the magic of television.
Dennis Gage has a TV show called My Classic Car. It's been on for 23 seasons. It's played on a variety of cable networks, and it's related to collector cars and people with car passion. And in recent years, Dennis has taken the direction of focusing on the destination of the car show as much as the car show itself. So Highlands fits into that perfectly with such an exciting destination.
Well, you couldn't ask for a better destination than Highlands, but for the hardcore devotees, it's about the motor cars, and this year the show is focusing on a specific personality in the world of motoring.
This year we're going to be telling the story of Carroll Shelby. So our featured mark will be the cars of Carroll Shelby from the years 1964 to 67. You might say, why 67? Because there's later Shelbys, but those were the years that the cars were actually made in California under the direct supervision of Carroll Shelby at his Los Angeles plant. After 1967, all Shelby cars were produced in Detroit by A.O. Smith Company.
Well, besides the Shelbys, I understand there are some other very interesting cars that will be part of the festival, including one that sounds like an Italian car, but actually has a French pedigree.
You're talking about our Bugatti Type 35B, which is made in France by Ettore Bugatti, who was Italian, but the cars were actually made in Alsace-Lorraine portion of France. And this Bugatti is pretty darn special. This is a factory race car from 1930, and it competed in the Monaco Grand Prix. We've got many pictures of it. It's quite a historical car, and it's still vintage race to this day. It's hard to believe that a 70 or 80-year-old car is still holding up the way that car does. It's an extremely valuable car as well. These Bugattis, every one of them is a handmade work of art, and that's what people will get to see on our show field is the absolute workmanship that goes into these cars.
Steve, I understand we have a tease for next year's festival in this year's festival with one special vehicle.
It's a 1934 Packard Dual Cal Phaeton, one of eight that was produced that year. It's a monstrous car. It has a 142-inch wheelbase. It makes it about as long as a dump truck. It has quite a strong presence. It's an open car with two windshields. The passenger compartment has a windshield, and the driver's compartment has a windshield. And this car is one of the better Packards out there. We recruited it from the Atlanta Concourse of last year, where it won Best of Show out of 500 classic cars. This was the best one on the show field, and we have it coming to Highlands Motoring Festival to get the public interested in our Packard featured mark for 2020.
Steve, I hear the festival has something new this year that could bring in even more participants to the Highlands Motoring Festival.
Well, new to our festival this year will be our parade, which is going to happen on Friday evening. It starts at 5:30. Anybody interested can come to Kelsey Hutchinson Park. All cars are eligible. Everybody is entitled to participate in this parade. At 5:50, we'll have a driver's meeting before departing the park, and we'll go over some basic ground rules. This event is going to be under close supervision of the Highlands Police Department, so we're all going to be on our good behavior. We will leave Kelsey Hutchinson Park on 5th Street, turn right on Main Street, and parade all the way towards Wright Square, where we'll make a U-turn and we'll parade back up Main Street and back into the park, and that whole thing will be over in about 20 or 30 minutes. But it's a chance for everybody to get out, stretch their legs, drive their cars, and afterwards we'll all meet up at the High Dive Tavern for a welcome party.
Well, thanks, Steve, for that overview of the festival programming. And now to Jerry Hermanson. And Jerry, the programming for this festival just wouldn't happen without a lot of dedicated volunteers.
Nothing with a motoring festival happens without volunteers. We are an all-volunteer organization. There are no paid people at all. So we have a large group of people that come each year to volunteer and help out in the various things that we do.
Jerry, what kind of things could a volunteer expect to do at the Highlands Motoring Festival?
Well, the festival and the five functions or the five events that Steve talked about all require volunteers to help with those, starting with Monte Carlo night on Thursday night all the way through Sunday and the High Octane on Main event. So we have people that work with various areas. We have judges who are volunteers for the Cars in the Park event on Saturday. We have people that are welcoming those guests that are coming to the festival and collecting money for the three charities that the Motoring Festival supports. We have people that help with merchandise. We have people that help with parking of the cars. It's quite a group. We think that there'll be in excess of 90 volunteers between those various events that will help us.
And you don't have to be a gearhead, a car nut, a car expert to volunteer, do you?
Not at all. We have people that come that want to support the charities that the event supports. We have people that are gearheads, of course. And we have those that are just involved in our community and want to do something else to help with what goes on in the community.
What's the best way to become a volunteer for the Highlands Motoring Festival?
Contact me. The information is available all over, but you can contact me at my work number, which is 526-1991, or you can email me at jhceo@aol.com.
And the website to go to?
Yes, and the website is highlandsmotoringfestival.com.
And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Jerry Hermanson and Steve Hamm from the Highlands Motoring Festival for joining Mayor Patrick Taylor and I today. And we all wish you a pleasant Sunday.